All right, I will call to order this Drainage District Trustee meeting for the sole purpose of hearing a proposal, considering a proposal by Bolton Mink to provide district watchman services for Story County's Drainage District. Kent, you ever be the one speaking to us?
Yes.
Come over so we got your report.
Over here, right?
Yep.
Please.
Perfect. So the way this came to us is we had a retirement of a gentleman by the name of Dave Toot, who has served Story County really, really admirably for how long? 20 years. Yeah. And really, really knew the bones of our drainage district system. We thought we were moving down a path to get him replaced, and that didn't work like we thought it was going to work. And so we're at the point now where we're exploring all options as Drainage District trustees to figure out how to maintain a system that in most places is 100 years old. Doesn't necessarily warrant full replacement, but every year, multiple times a year, there's going to be issues we got to deal with. Some of it we can handle in-house. Some of it, brush control and things, we are handling in-house. But looking for more tools in the toolbox. We've had such a good relationship with Kent Rohde, with ISG, and now Bolton Mink that thought we'd reach out and just see what, if any, services you can offer to augment our drainage district programs.
And I just want to be clear, Rick, you reached out. I mean, I was a little unclear with that.
Yeah, it would have been nice if you had asked. But, I reached out and asked for this to be on the agenda for us to learn what we can learn.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, I'm Kent Rohde with Bolton Mink, and today I have with me Quentin Snyder. I believe that Bolton Mink has an office here in Ames. Or not here in Ames, but in Ames. And Quentin works out of that office. So he's familiar with ag drainage and works a lot in that area as well. So, we've put together a proposal here for district watchman services. That is something that is provided for the code. Typically, it's used in with levy districts, but it's we've used it for situations like this where there's always those tile repairs, tile blowouts that landowners report, and typically now is kind of an overwhelming time as planting. Farmers are out in the fields. They find those locations. They need to report those to somebody. And I know, I think the county engineer's office has been handling that in the past. We see that as, like I said, somewhat overwhelming for them at times, so we're here to provide a service. I think it would still make sense for them to report locally a issue with someone like the county engineer's office or possibly the auditor's office, where they would take a request for a repair. A landowner finds a hole out in their field. They assume they think it's a district tile, for example. It may not be. It may be a private tile. That request is for, they come to the office and say, I've got an issue here. They take that request at the office, and then they forward that to someone like Quentin. Quentin would then investigate. He would go out to the site, confirm that it is a district facility, first and foremost, and then look at and what may be needed to repair that. It may be just a simple tile blowout where there's a crack in a tile or a joint sucking dirt or whatever that may be, or it may be a little more extensive. He would come up with an estimate of cost and look for quotes from local contractors, assuming that the county forces are not interested in doing that work. That initially, I think it would be best to search out and reach out to some local contractors in the area that may be interested in doing that work. Try them out on a trial basis. But eventually, I'd like to get it to a point where we'd have a quote at the first of the year, possibly in the winter, where we would reach out to several contractors who would want to do that on a yearly basis. For example, at just an hourly, set hourly rate. That way, each time you're not spending time and effort on locating a contractor. Mm-hmm. At that time, then once the contractor's selected, you would come out to the site and do the repair, and Quint would be on site to briefly see that it's done properly. Then at the end, we would report and have a simple report back to the auditor's office, I would assume, or whoever you would like that to come to, as what the cost was and the what the problem was and how it was fixed. Be a simple one-page report. And our work for that would be done on a time and material basis, just an hourly, flat hourly rate of $80 per hour no matter who was working on that, whether it be me for some slight administrative oversight or Clinton. We also provide, there's a lot of counties have the tree and brush management program where you separate your ditches out into three, the way we've typically done it is separated out into three different sections and doing on a rotational basis. Every year, do one section with spraying of the ditches to manage the tree and brush along the open ditch before they get to be large trees.
Absolutely.
And a problem, more extensive problem. But that, is only as desired, or if that's being managed internally and you're happy with the way that's working and you have the time, that's fine.
So, Kent, my question would be, how flexible is Bolton Mink into the level of service that a drainage district trustees might request? So the reason I'm asking is this. It seems to me that there's multiple levels of potential issues with tiles. I think you rightly state, as the farmers get in the field in the spring, we find some things we didn't know were out there. Darren's office, which is how we run it now through the county engineer's office, gets all these calls with limited resources to get out and do it. Generally, Darren, and I'm sure I'm oversimplifying here, you'll get a call in your office, you'll get somebody out to take a look at the issue and see if it's a district tile, how large a problem it is. And what I'm curious about, Kent, is this kind of an all-or-nothing proposal, or could we piecemeal something together where we, if the trustees were to decide, we like our system as it is, we just don't have enough resources to be able to handle the more complex issues. Oh. And so get in and analyze it, and once we get in and analyze it, then it would be a decision for the engineer, either we're going to handle it in-house, as we've tried to do with many things, but now I don't think we have quite the same capacity that we had before Dave Tooch's retirement, or it's a little more complex and we need to bring in some expertise, which would be you or somebody like you.
Absolutely. That would be, I see that working very well. It's only the ones that you would like help on is where we could come in at. Keep in mind that there is a $50,000 limit on the work that can be performed without an engineer or a report being done on the repair.
Absolutely, and that triggers, and then Loris, I'll come to you, that triggers why I wanted to have this conversation with you, because we have been utilizing your services when we get to that trigger
right.
for the engineering report, and it just made sense. So our goal has to be, as I see it, and I think we would all easily agree with this, We've got to maintain this tile system so that our producers can do what they do and produce, and we need to do it in as timely and cost-effective a way possible. And so us trying to get to the bottom of what that looks like, especially right now when we don't have a fully fleshed-out system with the retirement of Dave Tooch and trying to figure out how it works, seems to me that this is the perfect time for us to explore something like this.
First of all, thank you for the very detailed proposal here. It was very easy to follow, very easy to clear. We see what the options were, okay? So when I kind of was reaching out yesterday, one of the questions that came up was related to exactly, are we purchasing a service or are we actually in the drainage district situation? Because the county has a rule in purchasing that $25,000, if it's going to be above anticipated $25,000, we have to get two other bids or RFPs, okay? And so so are we purchasing a service with the Watchman as opposed to your drainage district when we move over and we're hiring you as a drainage district engineer? And so, and I didn't have an answer to that. I didn't get an answer.
And so the answer would be this has nothing to do with the county or the county's purchasing policy. This is entirely as drainage district trustees in our role as drainage district trustees.
Okay. And part of why I asked that question is that the presentation is to the drainage district trustees, but it's on our regular board of supervisors agenda.
As an informational item, so it got misnoted. It was just copied over from this agenda. What was intended on our board of supervisors agenda is informational to make sure that everybody's aware that we're having this conversation. And so the vision there, and Kent and I talked about this, is we're going to have the full conversation in our decision maker mode, which is drainage district trustees on behalf of drainage districts, and then we're going to come back and we're going to do a 30,000 foot, this is the conversation that was just had by the drainage district, so that, Lawrence, nobody ever says, oh, you tried to slip something by, you tried to slip something in.
So my next thing as I was going through and making phone calls was also, where is our need? Because Dave Toot just retired within the last month, and so I thought, oh, geez, have we got a lot of projects, or not projects out there, sorry, want to use the right terminology. I mean, are we all of a sudden behind in our ditch inspections? Are we in need of this? And I haven't heard anything to that. I haven't heard anything on that discussion based upon who we've got going out now and our road crews, okay? So, I remember from when you were with ISG and Marty and I went to orientation and we heard about Watchman Services too. So then the other issue is we know there are other people out there who do that. And one of my concerns is if we have one company going out and being the watch person and making the initial determination, and then that those people end up, as we've been doing lately, using you, your company also as the engineering firm, do we face either some conflict of interest or appearance of conflict of interest? So those are all the kind of issues that, as I was calling around yesterday trying to figure out and sort out, there's no question that you and your team do work that we've approved and we've contracted for over and over again. So it's not an issue of that. I just am needing to be figure out to be brought up to speed. So it sounds like this is just the beginning of a conversation.
What it was intended as.
Okay.
Darren, how is our project load right now? I will say that, yeah, please do. So as I had conversations with Darren and kind of thought this through, and the way it ended up in front of us is it wasn't based on dealing with things that have happened. It's based on looking at what's going to happen and what's coming to us. And anybody who doesn't recognize the amount of workload that Dave Toot handled, and even more important, or at least as important as what he handled, is the way Dave Toot could walk on a site and immediately our landowners would go to an at-ease position because Dave Toot had it handled, right? And we have absolutely lost that, and that's going to make everything at least a half step harder to get done. And so this conversation today, and maybe Darren's getting ready to tell us we got all these projects and all these complaints, but this conversation was not about trying to dig out from under anything. It's about trying to make sure that we're ready to move forward, knowing that when one of our farmers calls us and has a problem in his field, we don't have weeks to take care of this thing. We got to get it handled, and we got to get it handled now. Darren.
Yeah, in my mind, this conversation is timely because, one, you had that meeting a year ago and were introduced to these services, but what's changed since that is we've covered them day two. We've lost that, you know, knowledge of our tile system. We've got maps, but it's all underground. He knows what it did underground on most every site we go out to, so we've lost that. Two, the $50,000 limit has just changed recently. It used to be much lower than that, so we have a higher threshold. We can do projects without the hearing. I did check our workload right now. I'd say since Dave left, we've been very fortunate. We've only had a handful, four or five tile projects, and we've got them all done except one. We do have 21 road tile work orders out there right now. That's the tile in the ditches. That may be district. It may be just our road tile. But so those are they get neglected when there's especially in the spring when the farmers want to get in the fields right away and plant. They all want it fixed immediately, and we only have one tile crew. The other issue with the district projects are tend to be out in the middle of the fields. And we just have rubber tire excavators, two of those. And if it needs a bigger excavator to go out there, we don't have a track machine. So that's where it could be helpful to have contractors to go out and use their track machine. They can get out when conditions are softer than we can get out there. Because I've talked about losing historical knowledge. Those are my main issues, and then with the $50,000 threshold, we've had a number of those projects pop up recently. The one we did in DD32, it was a $28,000 tile repair, but that takes a lot of work from my office, which when it says engineer in the drainage district code, that doesn't mean the county engineer.
Right.
That means the district engineer, but we've always helped out where we could. We want to see things get fixed. But we had to meet multiple contractors out there, show each one the job, get quotes, and then present the quotes to the board, and then we have to inspect the job. Those really aren't things we should be doing with our staff when we're not doing the actual tile work. So we did that project. That was a $28,000, and then we've got these other ones in DD20. We need to go onto the railroad. That's going to require a detailed railroad permit from the UP, set up plans and get bids for that, and that's something that would be under $50,000 still, so it wouldn't even need a hearing. That fits into that well as the job in Fernald. We got a stretch we need to replace the tile because of some tree issues. And so that's where I kind of like that hybrid you're talking about. If they're really quick jobs we can get out and fix, we still do it. We're still going to have a tile crew. And we can manage those, and things we, depending on workload, we can, you know, shuffle them out to them.
Yeah, so in my mind, and whether we were using Bolton Banks or somebody else, it would be great for you to have a tool in your toolbox, and even Joe and Tyler, to have a tool in their toolbox that says, hey, this job is a little beyond us. Either it's a little beyond us because of the workload that we have, what we have going on, or it's a little beyond us because of the complexity. And having a place to go to hand that off, to me, makes a lot of sense for us to have if our goal is to deal with these things as rapidly as possible in as cost-effective a way as possible. And it was a reason I was really interested, so I didn't go to the orientation that that Loris and Marty went to, hearing about watchman services back in the day. But I've been talking to a lot of county supervisors serving in their roles as drainage district trustees from all over the place who talk about the value, either in a full-blown watchman service where everything becomes the watchman's responsibility, or some of these hybrid kind of models. I definitely come down more in the hybrid kind of model, see if we can put together some kind of agreement where somebody like Bolton Mink is basically on call, that when the county engineer decides for whatever reason, it would be beneficial to us to hand this off to somebody and let them meet with contractors or solicit bids or whatever it is that needs to happen. That would be it would be advantageous to the people of Story County to have that.
I did get to mention, I did the quick check of 2017 work orders. This is just district tile only, and there was 35 we did. Just to give you a feel for how last year went compared to this year.
Right.
And we've got a lot of road tile issues besides that, open ditch issues besides that, so there's a lot of work out there. It takes, our crews are very limited, especially in the summer. That's when the guys are taking their comp time vacation. So we only have, we have five general laborers, and we have four crew leaders. They're all fighting for those five people, and, you know, we always have guys go on vacation and stuff. So when we send a couple guys out in the tow crew, it really limits the work we can get done.
Well, and plus that, you rightly state, your job as county engineer is our roads and bridges.
Yeah.
And if we're taking you and your crew away from that, especially during the summer when we better be getting this stuff done, we're doing a disservice to the people of Story County. Marty, questions or comments?
No, I was anticipatory on this one with Dave's retirement. I would like to thank that, well, first, good morning, Ken, good morning, Quinn. Thank you for coming to join us for this conversation today. I thought this would be something, that's what we had talked about a year ago. My expectation, we're going to be expending dollars in behalf of the landowners to service the tile in some capacity. I like the idea that we could possibly raise up another day or two. I suspect we won't get there, but we can try, you know, whether internally or through an external like a hire. The fact that the timeliness is not lost on me in the sense that when you want to be in the field, tile needs to be fixed because it gives you the best likelihood of optimum on-site. I think this is something that interests me in the sense that clearly Darren is operating outside of his capacity in the sense that he's doing a lot of this with his people. We have a finite crew. They have work orders. Yesterday morning at this time, I got a call from a farmer up by Story City that I turned him over to Darren. He had a tile issue on, so how does it happen? Very randomly and very suddenly, and they have to put that on their list of things to do to get that addressed, and that speaks to where I think this needs to go in the sense we have somebody at the ready. Not that we're using them every time we turn around because, you know, mindful that we'll be expending dollars in addition to what we're already spending. So I'm kind of leery of that sense. But when you look at the totality of the proposal here, I like what I see on the brush management just as far as eyes on. Maybe there's possibly, in addition to what these guys do, because when these guys are out doing assessments, they're not doing the actual spraying and the mitigation that we'd like them to do because they're not, they're mostly a staff's department. So I would like to think we can get the conversation to that point where I'd like to say this is something I'd like them to consider doing or some other vendor doing in our behalf.
I have a question about timeliness. As far as being able, you know, to react, and Darren, this is really to you, when you get that referral, that Marty gets the phone call on a Monday morning or or hopefully not Sunday morning, but so the call comes in, from that perspective, what is a good turnaround time, whether we're doing it internally or whether we would go ahead and contact a vendor?
I'd say it really depends on our workload at the time, and also any job that gets called in, it's probably at least three trips. First one you go out just to assess what's wrong, then once we can work it in, then you have to go out and set locates. That takes a trip. Then you got to wait 40 hours to get your locates done, and then you got to go back out to do the job. So it's three trips. And it's all workload based. If we don't have anything going on, which is rare, I mean, we'll get out there that week, but usually it's there. We're lucky this year. We just had five, so we could get to them pretty quickly. And one of them involved replacing 30 feet of tile, which took it one of our excavators, and it happened to be a dry period, so we could get out there and do it. But it's all based on workload. And
okay.
The typical spring, Dave got overwhelmed really quickly every spring.
And I just heard out of that response really two factors. One is about the initial response for the eyes on.
Yeah.
And then the other one is the actual repair work having to be done. And so do you have any thoughts about going with finding a contractor who would get all of our referral work to do that when your crews couldn't handle it internally?
Yeah, that's why I would prefer the method you mentioned, getting quotes once a year or something for hourly rates, so then you didn't have to go out. It takes time to set up meetings with contractors and get quotes, and that takes weeks. So to sit there. So if we could have something set up ahead of time, I think that would only increase our response time.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other questions or comments?
No, I just would, once again, the proposal we talked about, pretty heavily weighted in regards to the tile side of things, but I have interest in hearing what they have to say in addition to what they wrote down as far as the brush management. as that is an oversized. We just stepped out of a drainage district meeting within an hour, and it was pretty much brush management centric. So, Dan?
Yeah, like I said, I think, if you'd like that, we could, break your ditches, drainage ditches down into three sections if you don't already have that done. And then
I would ask our attorney Joe at that point. Do we have that?
We have our open ditches categorized in five different, brush heights and things and maintenance, but I can see three. It's all the same, really.
I guess I was thinking the three sections, so all your ditches every 3 years are getting sprayed or managed to some.
No, we're not quite there. Some open ditches do every year because of brush load. Some do every year.
And maybe there's some that are so overwhelmed already.
Well, we're at the point of logging internal. We log in house or hiring contractors. That takes a lot of our time also to put together,
plan
the bids and watch the contractors do the work. And again, the trips out there, I can't count how many times, and this just as good as anybody, how many times it takes to go out and, hey, is this the tree you want? Or to make sure they're not driving across a planted field, things like that. So, we are, I guess I'll go off Marty a little, moderately staffed. Anything that would help us do our job as far as other duties besides open ditch maintenance is always worth considering.
Sure.
Following along that line, Dan, do you think, Joe, that you would be able to put an estimated dollar amount about how much that's costing us for you to do it internally? Because I think that's what we're boiling down to. We're spending all these other people's money, but really directly here, if I understand it, would be to the drainage district assessment.
Yeah, but we budget for that every year, and I want to say this year we budgeted somewhere in the neighborhood of $24,000 to the drainage district. Does that sound like the right number?
Something like that, and all that, Flores is tracked by all our money that we charge back to the landowners in Story County that bring into these things. So every time we spin a wheel or run a chainsaw or that's all tracked.
We addressed this briefly in our earlier drainage district meeting, but when we did Milford back in 2012, the board serving in their role as drainage district trustees decided it was time to put a program in place where we monitored and maintained at some level our open ditches. Because to that point, we had done almost nothing to our open ditches in about 50 years. And that is where, at that point, we did not have Tyler's position. And we decided to create the position that Tyler then filled, and it was partially funded out of IRVM and partially funded out of this drainage district work. So it gave Joe an extra set of hands for his work in IRVM, but it was originally, we were thinking it was going to be largely funded by the drainage district work, and what we found every year is we don't get quite as much billables on the drainage district work as we originally thought. But that's exactly where it came from for us in trying to grow our drainage district program. And so let me just circle around and see if, because we got a board of supervisors meeting starting here in a couple minutes, see if I'm understanding correctly where we are. We like maintaining initial contact and initial control in-house, meaning our process of concerns go to the county engineer would remain in place. County engineer staff will go out and do the original assessment of any question that we have and then make a determination if the project is too complex or our workload is too great. We don't want to have our farmers twiddling their thumbs with an issue. We would look for somebody, in this case Bolton Mink, to hand it off to to handle the more complex problems. When it comes to brush control and our open ditches, we would continue to maintain our current system, which is you guys assessing and trying to address. But again, much like you've talked to some loggers, and much like you're, as I understand it, Joe, later this week, meeting with a spray company that could potentially take on some of those services, now this would give you an additional tool toolbox. Not that you would go to for every project, but you go to when the situation warranted it. And Kent, what I'm understanding from you is, and I don't even know if we'd have to rework this agreement. I mean, our next step, if we're interested, would be to send this to our civil attorney and have them go through it and see where we are. I read this agreement as flexible enough that we're not committing that we're going to use you guys. We're just having you out there as a resource to use if we need you, and you'd be comfortable with that.
Absolutely. It's a time and material flat rate fee for those times that you would contact us for some help is when we would bill for that time, and then only as needed.
Marty Morris, anybody understand something different than what I just
said? I would like to go out and get two more bids.
I appreciate that you'd like to. So for me, I don't understand why when you've got an entity that we're already working with, I think you rightly note that we're already working with them when we reach the point of doing an engineering project. We know that it's a solid company who does great work. Darren already has a relationship with them. I don't know why we would go somewhere that we don't know who we'd be working with.
Well, I'm going to say why I would like to get two more bids. You phrased that I put it as in we'd go with somebody that we don't know who we're working with. That's your own kind of spin on it. First of all, as I said before, although this could be cleared up with a civil attorney, is I just like clarification on who's purchasing the service, you know, and say that is it even bound under that $50,000? And if so, what would be the length of it? Let's say we opted for option number two in there, as you described it, modified, Rick, where we'd still initially do the brush investigation, go out and look, but if we were over with them over a three-year period, we could top even the $50,000. So I'd like to know how it interplays with the project and the loss, so like that. Okay. The second reason is because we are unsure of what the cost will be, and I feel there will at least be a perception moving onward that if they're doing the watchman service and we haven't at least looked at other firms, and then we are giving our engineering projects to them, which we feel very comfortable with and we're very, very confident in their knowledge, but I don't want even the appearance that they got an inside track until we've at least checked out, found quotes from and what a couple other companies would propose. And we know there are a couple other companies that do this work in this area.
Sure, but I think it's completely fair to say that they have an inside track, but they have an inside track because we work with them and we know the kind of work they do and we know that our staffs work well together. And so the reasons that you point out that you don't want to do it are the exact reasons that I would want to do it. The other thing I'll point out is my hope is that we don't spend anything to do this. That would mean that every project that came through was to the capacity that our county engineer or our IRVM can get in and handle it. The reality is we're not going to be there. And our first step right now when we get a complex project, okay, you get a complex project that you think is going to go over the threshold, what's your first phone call? Right there. It's already there. And so why would we make it, our whole goal here is to make it less complex, not more complex. So I'm completely with you on the civil engineer. Everything needs to go through them. I spoke to with the civil attorney. I spoke to the attorney today, and I think that's exactly where things need to go. And we need to see what kind of proposal we come up with for the trustees to make some kind of decision. That's where I think we are right now. So as I see it, three options. One, we can take no action as Drainage District Trustees. Two, we can send this initial proposal on to our civil attorney to work with our county engineer to make sure that we have a proposal that we can live with, and if we come back to the trustees for consideration, or three, we could send this out to, I don't know if you're talking about a request for proposal, or if we're going to send it out to selected engineering firms, or what we would do, and get more people coming to tell us what they would do for us. Those are our three options as I see it.
We kind of went through this here, Loris, in the fact that when Kent and Tyler left ISG, we kind of agreed that maybe we should talk to Bolton Mink. And we had ISG come and talk to us, and we did this pretty much to get to this point in the conversation. We heard last year that a Washington service might be something of interest, knowing that Dave was going to be leaving us. Dave has left us, so we're bringing the conversation to us. I think we could go to the certainly, I'm probably disinclined to sit there and say, let's do a discussion with other firms, and the fact that the reason we have these gentlemen in the room with this organization they work for is because we have had success in the past. We had the discussions whether we wanted to change engineering firms to begin with, not just the Washington services. So we've kind of had that conversation already. If we were looking to do with a new engineering firm, we had that opportunity and we addressed it this spring. So I think this is just, that decision to me is a settled decision. To me, it turns into a question, how much do we want to use them? I'd like to think that Darren Moon and his staff can fix any tile issues that come to them. I would like to think that Joe Quaker and his staff can do any of the brush up to the logging portion of it that we can't. But we just are talking about an additional component when that event comes, that either through timing or through a number of projects to work through, that we have another option on a timeliness basis to get things corrected. That's where I find the conversation right now.
And as I said, the concept here, especially as laid out modified, I'm on board. It's just I would like to get two other firms that we've done business with in the past to talk about to get under Washington program. But that's the only variance, and I've limited it to two, and I've already stated my reasons.
Sure. So, okay. All right, so what I'm hearing is that there's a movement with reluctance from one of us to head down the road of sending this initial proposal to our civil attorney to work with our engineer and Bolton Mink to see if you can come up with a final agreement that would come back to us as Grange District trustees for consideration. Am I stating fairly what you just said?
I am comfortable. I would like to hear back on the dollars expended, the dollar caps.
Yep.
But, you know, well, let's talk to a wise attorney and see what they tell us. We have nothing to lose there.
Okay.
Yeah, with reluctance. Yeah. Okay. I think we've got 2-1 consensus here.
Two to one consensus, but you're going to have a chance to restate that if and when this comes back for consideration.
That is true.
Right?
That is true.
So we're not.
To the attorney is an agreed upon.
To the attorney to review this and see if we can get to something that we're actually going to consider.
I'm on board with that.
All right. Okay.
Yes,
sir. Everybody good? I don't think that requires any action, Darren, except we refer it to you to work with Ethan to get us to an agreement, work with Ethan and Kent. Hopefully, Kent, what you're hearing here, you're comfortable with. And like I say, we're going to gavel out of this. We're going to come right back in as Board of Supervisors, and we're going to report out what we discussed here today.
Great.
Okay? Everybody good?
I'm good.
Yeah.
There's nothing else. A motion to adjourn as Grange District Trustees.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned. We're going to take about a 1-minute recess, and then we're going to get started with our 10 a.m. meeting.
Nice to meet you.